From now on, anybody's forbidden from doing a reading that's going to get me choked up before the sermon, all right? So if I'm sniffing a few times, it is Larry's fault. Let's start off by saying happy Mother's Day to you mothers this morning. Some interesting statistics about Mother's Day. 84% of Americans last year said they planned on celebrating Mother's Day. Along with that came $21.4 billion in spending on it. The average person spends $172 on a Mother's Day gift. And I scratched my head at that because I haven't spent $172 in my lifetime on my mom. That is a smack upside the head I'd get if I spent that much on her. And I love my mom dearly, but I didn't even get her a card this year. So I'll call her, though. Most interesting, though, about the dollar amounts that are spent on Mother's Day, those that are in the 25 to 34-year-old age bracket spend the most money. And if you stop and think about it, once you start hitting that 25 range, you usually start getting your own place, you get married, maybe you have kids, and you start realizing, man, mom was right about everything. And so I have a feeling they're most generous because they're just trying to pay back mom. Of those receiving gifts on Mother's Day, 62% were moms or stepmoms, while wives received 23%. 78% of the gifts received were cards. I still don't understand how we get $172 average out of that, unless those are some really nice cards that mom's getting. 67% of moms receive flowers. 55% receive a special outing, like a brunch or a dinner. Gift cards come in third, then clothing, and then jewelry for mom. It's funny, though. Moms, have you ever felt like you're just never being heard? Well, guess what? This just proves that you aren't. Because the number one things mom wants is time. You notice on that list, time wasn't on there. By the way, of the things that moms do want is time. The one thing that they don't want, 94% of moms said do not ever get them a gym membership. That is never a good idea. Lastly, it's interesting to note, though, as I said, moms want time with family. And sometimes that's not possible. So the good news is we do seem to recognize that part to mom because phone traffic spikes 37% on Mother's Day. It's the most phone activity day of the year. So at least we get that part right. And what I want to get out of this is though Mother's Day is a special day and we can call mom and we can spend money on her that she would be mad at us if she knew we spent it on her, looking at all this, it made me realize something. I'm really glad that I am not a woman. That is not a degrading remark. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. You heard what Larry read up here? All those things that mom does? I don't add up to that. Guys, do you feel that you add up to that at all? Moms are pretty amazing, but even aside from all the great things that moms do, the biggest struggle that I would deal with if I was a woman is dealing all the conflicting messages that you hear from our world today. And that's the part that I would struggle with the most, of who you are supposed to be. What is your identity? Women are constantly being told what they're supposed to be like from the media, from society. It's always changing. It's always conflicting. The number of times you'll hear in the media, women are more than a sex symbol. Absolutely. But what's the problem? Look at any magazine cover. Look at any commercial. You get an opposite message of that. Women, you're told that if you work, you're failing your kids. Yet if you stay at home, you're being domesticated and not living up to your potential. Women, you're told to speak up. Well, when men speak up, they're considered assertive and bold and strong leaders. The words are never quite as flattering for women who speak up. You see, constantly these standards are being placed on you. You're being told how you are supposed to be. Everybody's telling you need to be this, you need to be that. Oftentimes these messages conflict, and I think to myself, I don't know how you guys can do it. But then I thought this was kind of amazing. But the godly women, there's only one place that you go, have your standards measured on, to what you want to look like and who you want to be. And that's in the Word of God. The Word of God is consistent, and it tells you how God sees you, how He wants you to be. So I'd ask that you'd please rise for our sermon text today. Our sermon text today is going to come from the book of Titus. The one book I did not preset to, and I don't go to Titus often enough to know right where it is, so bear with me for a second. Yeah, I can't find those either. Those aren't particularly huge books, so I apologize. I always set them in advance. Okay. All right. Now, Titus 2, verses 3 to 8. Older women, likewise, are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. You may be seated. Now, before I get to this part, talking about women, guys, this does apply to us as well. So you don't have to tune out and start thinking about what you're going to do when church gets out today, because the verse right before this was instructions to men. And a lot of these instructions apply to us as well. Second little point I would like to make, and that's what I want to hit on today, this morning, is the fact that today is Mother's Day, but ladies, that is just a part of who you are. You are more than just a mom, a wife, a daughter. Those are aspects of who you are. But what I want to do today is help you to see how Scripture sees you, how the Word of God describes you. Because there's some beautiful descriptions in there. Because you are His child. We're made in His image. What does that look like? What does that mean? And how does God want you to be seen by others? So the first point I want to get to today is I want you to understand how valuable you are seen in Scripture. And it's interesting that we talk about the beauty for women described in Scripture, because sometimes the world seems to have a very misinformed understanding of how the Bible describes women. Oftentimes we are told that it's an antiquated book. It demeans women. It puts them down. Anybody that says that has not read Scriptures. Matter of fact, I had a conversation one time, my evangelism class. We had to reach out to somebody, a friend of ours that was not a believer, and share the gospel with them. So I had a friend that I reached out to because she was a journalist, so she was always curious, and she listened, and I knew it would be a good conversation. I set up a time, I called her on the phone, and we talked about it, and I shared with her my presentation. I said, "Do you have any questions?" And it's interesting, the first question she asked is, "How am I supposed to believe this when the Bible puts women down?" I explained to her how misunderstood she is. Because you see, the Bible has such beautiful descriptions of women. First off, I even just think about the Gospels. If you read the Gospel accounts, women in the Gospels are so faithful and loyal following Christ. Then you look at the disciples sometimes and you scratch your head. They're not painted in quite as good of a light. But it's more than just the women that follow Jesus around. I want you to hear some of the descriptions. You know, if you heard in our Old Testament reading, a gracious woman gets honor. The contrast to that, violent men get riches. And you think about the difference between those two. Getting riches is easy to get. Riches can be attained so many different ways, oftentimes quickly, dishonorably, forcefully. But honor is something that has to be gained and earned over time. And the only way you earn that is through righteous living. And I found it interesting that for women, it said, your honor, that you can attain honor. But for men, it was riches through our violence, because we have a tendency to try to club things enough to get our way. But you guys are more disciplined. You're better with that. And I think that's why the graciousness was attached to women. I go to Proverbs. Proverbs 12:4. The first part of Proverbs 12:4 reads, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband." Guys, I'm going to ask you a question right now. When is the last time you've looked at your wife as your crown? See her that way? Because how is a crown worn? It's an object of beauty. It's an object that draws people to you. Do you see and treat your wife as your crown? And I think this goes deeper even. For those that had marriages that didn't work, for those who never married, guess what? You still have people in your life that you love. You are a crown to their head. Blessings that you bring to them. Understand this. You are viewed as a crown. Proverbs 18:22. There's so many descriptions found in Proverbs. Proverbs 18:22 says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Finding a wife is considered finding a good thing. See, guys, that favor that you are finding from the Lord is your wife. God's blessing to you. To look at your wife that way. And if you struggle in believing that your wife is a favor from the Lord, well, really, I mean, is she that great? Go to Proverbs 31 and understand what a godly woman looks like. I know that's a proverb that's been recited a lot. It's probably almost said every year on Mother's Day. But it's so magnificent in its description of the power and the beauty of women that it would be silly not to be mentioning it. Man, your wife is described as a favor from the Lord because of this. These are some of the descriptions it uses for her in Proverbs 31. She's trustworthy. She's good. She has willing hands. She's resourceful. She provides for her family day and night. She is shrewd and strong, yet she is loving and generous. She is wise and teaches well. She is to be praised. That's not even all the descriptions that are found in there. Do those sound like those are coming from a book that degrades women? But the funny thing is, when is the last time the media, ladies, have ever told you descriptions like that about you? How wonderful you are. Second thing that I want you to know is those are the traits of God's Word describing how valuable you are. But let's flip that around now. Because these are the traits of a godly woman. But a godly woman desires to live for the Lord. And so what does that look like? The fact that you are one of God's children, that you are made in His image, how does He call you to live? Well, let's go back then to our sermon text that I couldn't find forever. The descriptions that we get from this, if you remember these things, and it talks about, ladies, from Titus 2, 3 through 8, this is how you are to be. To be reverent, showing honor and respect. You ever notice when you show people honor and respect, you get it back in return? But more than just that, imagine the reverence that you show to God and how other people see that as well. Sometimes we talk about that maybe the world seems to lack a reverence towards God. Do we show that kind of reverence in how we talk about God? Because that's what people are picking up on from us. You talk about God in a way that you're just in awe and praise of Him? Or do you talk about God in a casual way like He's my buddy or a good luck charm or, yeah, I just lean on Him when I'm down? Because then that's how people are going to see it. Reverence that you have is how people will pick up on it from you. Do not be slanderers. And we all know that, but it hurts on so many different levels. Be above that. Slandering is more than just saying something bad about somebody. Because what happens is if you're sitting around with some friends and you do that, what if it gets back to them? You cause harm in that person. Or what if that person you want to slander, stop and think about Scripture, what does it say there? If you don't like this person, Scripture tells us to love our enemies and pray for them. If you do like this person, Scripture tells us to build one another up. Slandering does none of that. And not only that, if we are one body in Christ, we're hurting the body. It tells you do not be slaves of wine. Fairly self-explanatory there, but everything in moderation. Be controlled in how you do things. Let nothing come in your life that could lead you to do evil. Teach young women what is good and train them to love their husbands and children. What a statement of honor that is when you are instructed to train others. That means you have gained wisdom and knowledge. For you to mentor a generation is what you are doing, women. You are mentoring the next generation, just like you were mentored by the generation before you. You have the ability not only to share knowledge that you have gained and heard from others, but knowledge that you have learned from life experiences. You can now pass that on. You know, if you stop and think about it, maybe that's why there are so many different messages telling women how they are supposed to be, because maybe there's been a generation gap or two of that wisdom being shared down, godly living. You are called to be self-controlled. And by the way, this is found in Scripture for all believers. The world seems to have a knee-jerk reaction for everything. We are called to be self-controlled. Patience. Patient about things. Don't react right away. Act in a godly way, because then that sets us apart from the rest of the world. We don't look like everybody else. We don't act like how they act. It says to be pure. Avoid all that you can to avoid evil. What you should be doing is desiring the things of God and not of the world. I had to tell Guy Murray beforehand. I said, hey, our reading from the gospel is going to be a little different. It's just about Anna. But my point of having that in there is, you heard about Anna. She was in the temple day and night in prayer. Do you don't think that was a woman there that was self-controlled and pure? Her thoughts were for the Lord always, that she was in the temple day and night fasting and praying. What an example that is to be like. It tells you to work from home. What I think that means there is just the godly gifting that you have. I mean, let's be honest here. When it comes to men and women running a house, they are two different ways of doing it. Guys, how often do we, I mean, think about it. The second a baby cries, what do? We always give it back to mom, because she knows what to do. It's just interesting how women are that way. And I don't think it's saying that women can't have a job. I mean, look at how busy the woman in Proverbs 31 was. As a matter of fact, it was talking about how wise she was in her business transactions. It's amazing what she can do. But I think what this is saying is, ladies, you are capable of tending to your family in ways that guys can't even begin to dream of doing. The ability you guys can multitask is something I've never seen before. You could have 10 babies on you and you're still vacuuming and cooking and not even batting an eyelash. We get a headache and we're out for the night. It instructs you to be kind. Like purity, it's another godly trait. Kindness, lovingness. Your children pick up on that. Be submissive to your husbands. And I think this is the part that the world looks at and says, see, that's demeaning. But what that is right there is that's not understanding what the term roles means. It's not about being demeaning. Because you see, roles are what make us effective. When we have a role in serving a whole, we become a lot more effective. And so for it to say that the husband is head of the house does not mean he lords over the house like a dictator. It means the husband's responsibility is to make sure the welfare of everybody in his house is attended to. Your role then, lady, is to run the daily operations. Because what you are both doing is you are both in your roles serving one household as a whole. It is not one is greater than the other. It's as a whole, how are we most functional? Which, interestingly enough, is exactly how the Trinity is. You have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's one God, but each with their distinct role in the Godhead. Roles are how we work better together. Lastly then, this final point I want to make today, the something I've learned over the years, and I feel bad for women, mom guilt. How many of you ladies were ever crushed with mom guilt when you were raising your kids? You'd snap one day or you'd do something and you'd go in the room later that night and you're like, I'm sure my kids are destined to jail because I got mad at them for doing something little. You were convinced that you have just ruined their life. Mom guilt is an incredibly powerful thing. And I hope that after even reading through these lists of godly characteristics, you haven't felt any guilt. Why am I not that way? You know what? You shouldn't feel it. You should not get discouraged or feel guilt. Instead, hold your head up, because here's the thing. We know that we fall short of godly living. That's why he sent his son to die for us. That Savior that says, I know you fall short. I still love you. I have forgiven you. And you see how freeing and motivating that suddenly becomes? Imagine how crushing it is trying to live this life of, I have to be this perfect mom. Raise your hand if you are a perfect mom. Exactly. But you know what? You've been forgiven for all of your mistakes. And instead, what that should do now, instead of this overwhelming burden that I can't be a good mom, which is only going to weigh you down and cause you just to throw your hands up in the air and say, I can't do this, I quit. You've been freed of that because of what Christ did for you. And now you can say, Lord, thank you for that you freed this burden to try to be something I can't be. Now you recognize who you can be, and you strive for that. Difference in the approaches, but it's because Christ has freed you from the consequences of trying to be perfect. We thank the Lord for that. So moms, happy Mother's Day to all of you. But more importantly, ladies, I want you to realize that isn't all that defines you, it's just part of you. But don't let the things of this earth define you. Don't let it label you or categorize you. Don't let it tell you who you're supposed to be, because they're arbitrary measures. It's going to always change in how you're supposed to look and how you're supposed to be. Instead, the only thing that should matter to you is that you are defined as a child of God. Because God doesn't define the parts of you, instead he defines the whole of you. And it's that whole of you that he laid his life down for. Bow your heads with me in a word of prayer.